this pilot.
So this project I'm about to talk about is, I think, the one I'm most proud of, the one that really got me started and keep me going. And I'm really excited that it's coming back, and I'm keen to talk a bit more about that. But well done, past you. I don't say that very often. Hi, and welcome to What I Might Say, the podcast where we dig up our past selves and give them some advice, but also think of some advice they'd give to us. I'm really excited about this episode because I get to talk about one of my favorite projects. And I'm really excited about it as well because it's coming back. I've decided to re-release it on the Noise Pilot Network, and we're going to see what that looks like as it sort of gets released. Maybe we make some more episodes, but we'll get into that later. Here's what that project is and what it means to me and all that kind of stuff. So we've got to go back to 2017 when I was still at uni. I was in my final year and I'd got good enough grades to get into professional work placement. I was stoked about this because they got subbed out for the research units that no one wanted to do. So I got to do professional work placement in my third year of university, which is great. I was talking to my unit coordinator who sort of pitched where I might go. I think one of the first options was it was either 6PR or 6IX in Perth, and their AM talkback stations, they're probably for a bit of an older audience, but that was a commercial radio station. That was where you potentially got a foot in the door, which might have led to paid work, which might get you into the commercial radio system in and around Perth. Great. But then the second option that I was sort of thrown was Vision Australia Radio. The university had a really close connection with that station. That station is designed to make content for people with low vision, have a visual impairment, or they have a print disability. So a lot of the content is reading magazines, you know, doing talkback, a lot of different sort of forms of content for people in that specific community. I'd never been part of that community in any way. I'd never known anyone with a visual disability. I'd never known anything about it, but it really fascinated me, and I loved the idea of using my skills in a place like that because I was into audio. I was into podcasts. This seemed like a perfect place to try something new, and I really leant towards that one. I remember telling a lot of people and my family, and they were like, wouldn't you pick the option that would lead to work? And I was like, well, that's a reasonable thing to think, I think. It definitely appealed to me, the idea of going into somewhere that might get me a job out of uni. But I don't know. My gut was just saying, maybe I can hold off on that. I reckon I want to do this thing first. I want to try Vision Australia Radio. I went there one day and did a bit of a muck around on their computers and, you know, sort of, I don't know, had an introduction to the team there. And then we sort of sat down and said, right, what the hell are you going to do? It was, you know, we could get you hosting a show. We could get you making something, but we've got to figure out what your, I guess, 40 hours is going to go to. And we sort of back and forth a bit. And then the coordinator sort of said, we had a volunteer who suggested doing virtual tours, like you count the number of steps to get up to the next floor and you describe what's, you know, there in front of you at a museum or something. I tell you what, when I heard that idea, my brain exploded. I don't know, the best way to describe it is if you've ever played cricket before and someone throws you a really slow and loopy ball and all you want to do is run down the wicket and smash it over the fence. That is what my brain was doing. I was like, oh my God, that sounds like the best idea. I am so excited about this. That's what I want to do. I want to learn from you and how I can best use my skills to do that, because that felt like that ball that I just wanted to take the biggest swing at and hit it over the fence for six. Now, it's all well and good that I like, you know, audio production and storytelling, but this is, you know, a piece of content for community that I know very little about. So I really wanted to make sure that, you know, I was getting the right feedback and I was making this in a way that, include their audience and not just be something, you know, great for me. So, you know, the volunteers there and the people helping me to create this were really, really helpful in giving us the foundations of how I was going to make this. The main compass point at the beginning was this really interesting thing that I never knew anything about, and that was audio description. The best example I was shown was this YouTube video. It's a trailer for the movie Frozen. Have a listen.
A carrot-nosed, coal-eyed snowman shuffles up to a purple flower peeping out of deep snow.
Ooh, hello.
He takes a deep sniff. His nose lands on a frozen pond.
The interesting thing is that's not the actual trailer. That voiceover's added later. That voiceover is describing what Olaf's doing. And there is an entire industry dedicated to this. You can go to live events and people will actually describe what's happening on the stage live. You know, people get audio described content. You know, you can go to museums and plug headphones into certain spots to, you know, have the exhibits or the plaques read to you. There's actually content like this that I didn't know about. And I was like, well, that is a really easy place to start. I need to be the one responsible for describing the rooms that I'm walking through, what I'm finding through these tours. What are the floors like? What are the rooms like? What am I feeling? You know, all that kind of stuff. I can describe that as I'm going through as a tourist. But then there's a gap of like, well, tours are much more than that. So maybe we need a tour guide. So maybe I need to go find places that specifically run tours. So that was the next thing, is getting a microphone on a tour guide who knew all about the information and how to best tell me all about it. So now we're turning into a proper tour. And then, of course, the other really amazing thing is when you're listening to sound effects recorded in stereo, you can get a really clear image of what you're hearing. For example, if you hear my footsteps and they're echoing, we're probably in quite a large empty room. If you hear a door creak, you can kind of get a gauge of how heavy it is or how old it is. So that's what I wanted to do as well, is just sort of get general recordings of what we're touching, what rooms we're in, what the environment sounds like, so we can really fill in the gaps of what I'm not describing and maybe what the tour guide isn't focusing on either. So this is a really full production now. And we all loved it. I got some really great feedback and help from the volunteers there, and we just went, let's give it a go. First episode is my favorite, the Fremantle Prison. It's a heritage listed building and they do tours there, and it was just prime location because this is exactly what we need to be doing. It was a cold, sunny, Frio winter morning, and we get there, mic up the tour guide. I walked around with this giant 8-track portable recorder around my stomach, or hung around my neck on my stomach. I look like a giant Teletubby, and that's where all the wireless mics were plugged into. And I also had my headphones on to make sure that I was listening to what the mics are picking up. I also had a stereo recorder in my hand. I also had my mate Paul come along with me to record sounds as well. We were kitted up to the nines to record this thing. And we went on this tour. It took me about 10 minutes to realize that I needed to shut up. I kept trying to ask questions and involve myself and have a back and forth with this tour guide. And then I realized this tour guide is very good at what she does. She already has all the information. Let her speak, let her do her thing, and you can find ways to chime in later, or if you genuinely have a question, then chime in. And I'm going to play a piece of audio here that, oh my God, when I still well up, like I get teary when I listen to this, because it's like one of my favorite pieces of audio that I've ever made. Through the door and up a small step, we enter the gallows, a dark room with timber floors. A metal railing in the middle of the room separates us from a large iron lever operating a trapdoor in the floor on the other side of the railing, which shows a room with stone walls beneath. A large wooden beam is suspended over the hole in the floor with a hangman's noose draped over it,
dangling over the trap door.
Now the man will be walked through to here. When he gets to the bottom of the steps, they pull the hood down over his face. They walk him through here. They would be weighed, they were measured. It was worked out on a mathematical equation, the drop of rope needed to break your C1, C2. Nobody is going to be strangled to death. There are no second chances with this. The trap door would be up. If the man is really frightened, he can be sat on the chair and he can be dropped on the chair. The executioner drops the rope over his head. In the same movement, he slams that across. The lever crashes down. The trap door crashes after it. There were pigeons up on the roof. The pigeons took off and everybody knew, out in the yards, waiting silently, that the execution had taken place.
Oh, man, it's pretty freaky, hey? This was a really awesome moment on that tour, and I just love listening back to that. I'm going to show a piece of unreleased footage here because I was obviously in this mindset to shut up. We're listening to Sarah tell this story. It's a story about a man being executed, and in the middle of the story, out of nowhere, she reaches back in one motion and slams that lever, and then I'm like shocked and still listening to this story, still knowing what we're recording. And then she says this.
Okay. Well, give me a few leads. Do you want more?
No, that's
fine.
Away just...
That is the sound of me and Paul as just stunned mullets, because what she was saying was amazing and creepy and highly descriptive, and we were just in awe of it. And that was kind of our experience in that moment. But it really, what was happening when she was telling that story is exactly what needed to happen, just telling a fantastic story in a unique way for a unique audience. And so we did that tour, and then we did two more. We did the Maritime Museum and we did SciTech. And we found different ways to sort of describe what was happening there to, you know, coach tour guides and stuff like that into delivering a product that I guess none of us really understood what it was, and it was very early stages, but we come out with something that we're incredibly proud of. And in 2018, that project won the 2018 Community Broadcasts Australia Award for Excellence in Creative Audio. And my God, I'm still proud of that. A lot of the time I go back and listen to my old stuff and I cringe or I critique it. I'm a horrible, horrible critic. I can listen to all three episodes of this without flinching because I'm so proud of it. And I put so much effort and time and love into this that I constantly chase projects like this and constantly chase the high that this project gave me. So if I could just see my past self in the middle of doing this, oh, I'd just give him the biggest hug and just thank him for doing this and sticking with it and being so determined. But I tell you what, I know my past self in this particular instance, if I'd have jumped into a time machine and just gave them a hug and said thank you, I think they'd be a puddle of mess on the ground. They would be inconsolably crying because this was the point in time where I was burning out. This was the time where I was really obsessed in the work I was doing, really obsessed in spending ridiculous amounts of time in production on my uni work, on trying to succeed. And I think my friendships really struggled with that because I was irritable, I was angry, I was, you know, constantly competitive with myself and others. You know, I've been told about myself then that I was very sensitive, very highly strung. That is a very reasonable thing to say. You know, my physical health was probably not doing so well. I wasn't eating great. I wasn't sleeping well. I was pushing myself insanely hard to make this. And after 2 years of really hard work at uni to get an opportunity like this, I really doubled down again. So this was the point where the main thing I tell them though is this is you burning out, mate. The reason you're inconsolable right now is because you don't understand what burnout is. You don't understand what you're doing to yourself, putting yourself through the ringer like this. You're going to run yourself into the ground and destroy yourself. You're being way too hard on yourself. You're doing way too much and you're putting too much into one basket. You need to realize your body is telling you in so many ways you need to take a breather. And of course, I would have disagreed then, but I tell you what, I wish I could have planted the seed then and, you know, not realized it 5 or 6 other times when I went too hard on things or, you know, really burnt myself out and got stressed and anxious. It took several more goes on that bloody roller coaster to realize that I needed to listen to my body and find ways to not feel that way anymore. Between 8 years from now and the present, oh, there's so many times I just should have been a lot more aware of burnout and stress and damaging my relationships with other people from being cross and irritable and sad and reclusive. You may feel like it's worth it, but there's a way of doing this happy. It turns out this whole thing is easier and more fun and delivers a better product when you're happy. I only learned that really this year, playing cricket of all places. I noticed that when I was pissed off and over-competitive and displaying all those traits that I've just mentioned, I bowled worse, which would make me more angry and then I would bowl worse. So what I then decided to do was take the stress out of it, smile, make a joke, be a stupid little fella and think about the relationship I had with my teammates and having a laugh with another person who was batting. We're all just here for a Saturday for a laugh. And I dominated then. I bowled better. I got more people out and I just had more fun. Literally just take that mentality. You bowl better when you're happy is probably the best way to is the best way to summarize the advice I'd give them. The advice they'd give to me though is just keep chasing these projects because they're so worth it. You know, back the underdog. Work on the project that doesn't pay you anything. If it's awesome and you're proud of it and, you know, you can leave the world in a better place than where you found it, that's the project that you need. That's what's going to keep you doing this and it will repay you in some way down the track later on. We'll figure that out. But that's what you need to be doing. And that we can handshake on that because that's what Noise Pilot is really based on. The shows that we're making here, you know, we're trying to be unique. We take on people and projects that don't have any money, but they're just nice, likable people, or they just didn't have the confidence to jump on a mic, but they still have something important to say. And that's the reason we're still doing this. That's the reason we still love it. And that's the reason why we want to keep doing it. And it's the reason why I owe this project absolutely everything. And look, I'm already welling up because I'm beyond proud of this project. And, you know, even though it was tough for him, he got through it and made something amazing. So well done again, younger self, and well done to everyone who helped me get through this and make something awesome at Vision Australia Radio. And of course, this is where I get to really excitedly announce that we're going to be releasing this as The Perth Tourist on the Noise Pilot Network in partnership with Vision Australia Radio. So really excited to show you more of that. So make sure you keep track of the Noise Pilot socials as more things come out about it. So thanks again for listening and we'll catch you in the next one.